que maman est près de toi. Faut lui dire maman, c'est quelqu'un pour toi.
Ah, c'est monsieur la dernière fois. Bon, je vais la chercher. Je crois qu'elle est dans son bain. Et je sais pas si elle va pouvoir venir.
Dis-lui, je t'en prie. Dis-lui, c'est important. Mais il attend. Raconte-moi comment est ta maison. Apprends-tu bien chaque soir toutes tes leçons?
Oh oui, mais quand maman travaille, c'est la voisine qui m'emmène à l'école. Il n'y a qu'une signature sur mon carnet. Les autres sont celles de leur papa, pas moi.
Oh dis-lui que j'ai mal, si mal depuis 6 ans. Et si c'est ton âge, mon enfant? À l'hôtel Beau Rivage, aimes-tu la plage?
Oui, j'adore me baigner. Maintenant, je sais nager. Mais dis donc, comment tu connais l'hôtel Beau Rivage? Y a-t-il, toi, sa patrie?
Oh, dis-lui toute ma peine. Combien toutes les deux, moi, je vous aime.
Vous aime? Mais je t'ai jamais vu, moi. Et qu'est-ce que t'as? Pourquoi t'as changé de
voix?
Et tu pleures? Pourquoi?
Oh, le téléphone pleure quand elle ne vient pas. Quand je lui crie, je t'aime. Les mots se meurent dans les couleurs. Et le téléphone pleure, non, ne raccroche.
This is episode BTMF Radio,
episode number nine,
and Kizzle is recording this because A-Wonder Era has problem with phones.
Yep,
and I'm just more late than you guys.
Yeah, of course.
We're recording over Packet 8, so it's late just because of that.
Well, it's kind of funny. I canceled my Packet 8 a couple months ago, and I thought it was all done, and but I was too lazy, and I never sent them back their DTA, or DTE, whatever it's called, the little thing you hook into the internet. And I never sent the thing back, and they just reactivated my account, so I've had Packet 8 for a month. I didn't know about it, so I just discovered that today.
Have you paid?
Yeah.
Are you paying? Yeah, it showed up on the credit card.
Oh. All right.
So, that kind of sucks.
No.
So I'm back into the evil clutches of Packet 8.
Say you weren't using it. Don't let her know.
No, they're evil. They don't care.
Oh, well. So, yeah, broken phones and then hands recording for us. So, I guess I'll go ahead and give shouts to Gizzle for helping.
Nah, shouts to Gizzle for hosting our show.
Yeah. Okay, so what are we talking about today? I was going to talk about Slack 10, because you've been using that, and I'll be using that.
Oh, yeah.
I have a quick question for Gizzle, though. What was that 500 server error Hacker Media had?
Well, the server I hosted on, with iPowerWeb, apparently PHP died, and I have a little bit of PHP in my main page, just to log the users, pretty much. And their PHP died, so my page died. I called them up. 20 minutes later, they had it back up.
Yeah, because I DTMF also has PHP on some of their pages, our pages, I mean, and when I checked it, it wasn't down, so.
Yeah, it was kind of scary. Like, that morning, I was using it, or the night before, uploading some stuff, and it worked. And then I uploaded again with an update, and then all of a sudden everything was broken. I was, like, freaking out. I went over, didn't break anything, and I checked, and everything else was still working. I was like, okay, cool. It was kind of scary. So, yeah. I also have another question. So you're getting that from iPower, is that what it was, or iPower, whatever it is?
iPowerWeb.
Okay. Yeah, are they very good? Like, what are your experience with them?
They're very good, really. I pay $8 a month for mine. I get 40 gigs of upstream. I get 800 megs of space. I get all the goodies, anything you can think of, CGI, PHP, a bunch of email addresses, the works.
With domain name included?
Yep, the domain name's included if you get it for a year of hosting. As I just said, PHP died, which, yeah, I think it's dying isn't good, but I called them. I said, hey, PHP's not working. I said, okay. I went and took a shower. I got back out of my shower, and the website was back up. So
cool.
They seem to be really quick, and they have 24-hour support.
Well, DTMF Radio is looking for alternate hosting right now. So.
Yeah. So we're not thankful for your help.
It's not we don't like your help. It's just
just one.
Oh, it is nice to have your own domain, though. I wouldn't really recommend going with them because it's just way too much. I mean, what are you going to do with 40 gigs of upstream? I mean, I'm hosting 4 shows on mine, and the only time I use any bandwidth is when somebody takes some 50 meg file on my downloads directory and posts it on a bunch of forums. That's the only time I use up any bandwidth. I'm usually 5%, 10% of my bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
So, actually, what I found was I found this one web host where it's 99 cents a month, and you get 50 megs of space and I think a gig of bandwidth. But what you could do is you could point a domain towards that and then still host your episodes on my server if you wanted to go cheap.
Yeah. We were thinking about something like that also.
Yeah. And then I had a quick thought, well, what about Data Machine? And then I went and asked them, and they're like, no, we'd kick you for that. So, yeah, we're still looking around. I think we're going to decide on what we're going to do after Hope, after he gets back. And
yeah.
We get some money together.
I'm pretty busy until Hope.
Because as of right now, we spent like $12 on the show. That's me buying a phone and me buying a mic. So I'm going to go ahead and put the money up so we can have something show for it. I don't know. So, yeah.
All right, with Slack 10.
Yeah. So when did you get Slack 10?
Me?
No. Kizzle, when did you get it? Because you were just talking a couple days ago about using Mandrake.
Yeah, I was using Mandrake a couple days ago, and I wasn't real impressed with it. It's just they change so much around they really shouldn't. I can't remember what all they do, but it's just you use it, it just doesn't feel right. Some things didn't work, and it just kind of sucked. So I tried out Slackware because I've used them before and they're pretty nifty. I tried out Slackware 10 and I'm really impressed with it. It seems a lot more responsive than most Linux distros. I'm not sure why. Really couldn't tell you, but it's nice.
Yeah, I just ordered a modem from Yahoo, from Yahoo page. So it should be here sometime this week or next week. And then I'm supposed to be getting Slack 10 from my good buddy over here at Crash Test.
Yeah.
So I should be going with Slack 10. I'm going to try it out, give it a good run. I mean, I have 9.1 running on my spare box right now, and I've learned enough that I can...
You got the 9.1 ISOs from me, didn't you?
No, I bought that from linuxiso.org, I think. That's what it was. Someplace in France. anyway, yeah, I got that working, and I'm happy with it, so all I'm hearing from about 10 is it's better, so if it's better, that's nice.
The only problem I'm having with it right now is that I can't get my resolution past 1024x768, and it's kind of a problem because I'm using an LCD monitor that is a native resolution of 1280x1024, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks kind of blurry if I have it below that, so I cannot figure out how to get it boost back up because as some of you may know, that some of the Linux distros are switching from X-Windows to X.org, which is pretty much a clone, as far as I see it. But, I mean, X.org's website doesn't say very much at all about it.
Well,
so,
why the switch?
I'm really not sure. There was a Slashdot post on it a while ago. I don't remember what the reasons were, but probably
stability.
Yeah, maybe stability. Maybe they're just getting tired of it because sometimes
buys,
projects
maybe.
Get too big and out of control, and you need to start over.
Mm-hmm.
So, Slackware 10, does it use Zorg or what?
Yeah, it uses Xorg.
Okay. And
so I think configuration's a bit different with that. So that may be my problem, but the config file looks about the same.
I might have an idea on how to fix it, but considering I could be totally wrong about it, I'm not going to mention it right here and risk being made fun of. So, yeah, I guess we talk about that after the show.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was also thinking about messing with BSD, like after I get Slack 10 going. And,
net or free?
I had a really old net BSD that I got from my cousin, so I was going to try it. I put the CD in last night to see if it worked, and I didn't install it or anything. But it does work, so I'm looking forward to messing with BSD. I'm probably going to get totally lost. I asked him, like, how would I go about installing this and messing with it? And he was like, okay, after you get it all installed, you're going to have to do all this. And it took him 5 minutes to explain it, and I didn't get any of it.
I saw an old segment on Tech TV against, it's like a FreeBSD versus Linux. And the new install, even though it's text for FreeBSD, it's pretty easy to install. Like,
well, text doesn't bother me as long as it makes sense.
Right. I mean, Slackware is a text install, and it's very simple to install.
Which version? Aren't the newer ones sort of a GUI?
I thought last time I looked at 9.1, I thought it was text. Is it not?
I don't know what you would consider a GUI.
there's a
GUI to me. So. Yeah, I don't know.
What's Kizzle think?
Kizzle's not saying anything, I believe.
Kizzle's gone.
I'm still here.
Okay. So
I'm still trying to my best to intently listen to what you're saying because you're so quiet.
Who, A13 or me?
A13.
Yeah. Is this any better? Because I'm talking pretty much as loud as I can.
That's much better.
Okay, I'm almost yelling into the phone. So,
see, my tactic is just go and get the cheapest phone you possibly can, and it's usually the best. I don't know why, that's how it is.
Well, this phone was $10, so I don't know if I can go much cheaper.
my speaker phone was $10. Or, no, my Siri phone was $9. That thing works awesome.
Which speaker phone is it?
I don't even think that's a brand name. It's kind of a dollar store brand.
Oh. Okay, because I was told by, like, 4 different people to go get the Durabrand phone from Walmart. I was told by Bland, so it had to be good. So I go and get it, and the speakerphone sucks. The mic in it is terrible.
Maybe that's just your Walmart. Maybe it was, like, beaten up in the shipping process.
I don't know. I think all Walmarts are about the same. I don't think it gets better as you go. So I need a new speakerphone. I kind of broke this one. I might put a picture up of what I've done to it.
It's a total hack job.
Yeah.
Yeah, he in conferences before the show starts, we do sound checks, and I have to endure him drilling holes into the speakers. And
no, it was into the mic. The mic has this plastic around it, and there's like a pinhole, like the size of a needle. I was thinking, there's no way he's hearing me with it like this. So I took a screwdriver, and I took the phone apart, and then just drilled the hole in it with the screwdriver, because couldn't go outside. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. So now I have this screwdriver-sized hole in it, and it still wasn't loud enough. So I took the speaker or the mic out of it and laid it like outside of the phone, and it still wasn't any better. So now I took all the screens off of it, and it's not getting any better. So I think this phone just sucks. I'm looking for a new one. Then my cordless phone died.
Mm-hmm. So, we would be able to record.
Yeah. That's why we need Kizzle. So, yeah. That's what that is.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think I'm done. So, Crashus, you said you had some games or something to talk about for a change?
Yeah, sure. I guess.
You were talking about this crazy game that's awesome.
Oh, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's like Chrominium or something. Maybe Kizzle's heard of it. It's a Chromium.
Is it for Linux?
Yeah.
Oh, and so you have a little spaceship you control with your mouse?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Many, many of hours have been lost to that game.
Yeah. Yeah, see, A13 doesn't believe me that it's a good game. He's, like, making fun of me for it.
Okay.
Oh,
well,
dude, you don't know what you're missing. That game's crack.
Yeah.
Because you have complete and utter, you have complete control of your ship, because it goes as fast as a mouse pointer would, and you get to kind of go in and out of the enemy ships and shoot them.
You're constantly firing, and every ship that gets past loses a life, and the graphics aren't that bad either. I mean, they're not made to look realistic, but they're 3D and they're good.
They're appropriate, I guess would be the word.
Right, it's arcade style. It's not made to look like an F-16 or whatever. I mean, it's supposed to be a little animated looking, but it's a great game. That you get different power-ups, and they're like the form of Linux penguins and stuff, so it's fun. And
maybe I'll have to go check this out. If Kizzle says it's good, I'll listen.
Oh, so you don't listen to me, but you listen to
Well, you said Crack Attack sucks, and I know that's a great game.
Well, Crack Attack's fun, but I'm having, like, all right, here's my problem with Crack Attack. I got the RPM for it from Fedora Core 2. I installed it, and it installed work. But when I go to launch it from the command line, it has some odd error, and I don't know what to do.
Do you have OpenGL support?
No, I got all the support and dependencies and everything. It's just some stupid error, and I don't know what to do about it. I'll go look at it right now.
Okay. Well, Kizzle, you're running Slackware, so you should have this game. You might be able to check first. You go to User Games. There should be a game in there called Rain. Do you have that? And while he's looking, if you heard me, this game, you just go to the command line and type Rain. If you have it, you should see ASCII Rain on your screen. And I was telling him, this is a cool game. If it's a game, I don't really know. But it's cool because it's ASCII Rain. And there's like, I don't know, looks like four or five different frames. So, yeah, that's a cool game.
Actually, I was going to save this for Uber Leto to talk about, but I've been playing Chronicles of Riddick, Escape from Butcher Bay for Xbox. And this game is insanely, insanely good. It's one of the best games I've played for Xbox. And
Chronicles of Riddick?
Yeah, and it's based on a movie, nonetheless. See, if a game's based on a movie, it has to suck. It's just, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
Wait. Now, you're forgetting the Lords of the Ring games. Those were decent.
But Lord of the Rings is a book, and I believe that Riddick was also a book, wasn't it?
It looks like, I kind of get the feeling that it was based on a book.
Yeah, I could have swore that I remember hearing a book titled Riddick before I've even heard of this movie.
Well, how about Pitch Black? You heard of that?
I've heard of the movie.
That's the same guy.
Oh, God, you got to watch Pitch Black. I would highly recommend watching Pitch Black before you watch Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah. I believe they said on X-Play, yes, I do watch Tech TV sometimes, that Chronicles of Riddick, the game, is set before the movie, right?
Yep.
So it explains, like, why... Well, what exactly does it explain? I don't remember the review.
It really doesn't explain much. You don't have to have watched the movies before to appreciate the game. The game pretty much stands on its own. The only thing you find out is how he got his eye shine to where he can see in the dark. That's about it.
It's just you go to prisons and you have to escape from them. And
yeah.
I mean, this has the best graphics, hands down, of any Xbox game. It's insane. It kind of looks like almost Doom 3 graphics, a little bit toned down, but what you would expect Doom 3 to look like on the Xbox.
Well, the only problem I have with Doom 3 on the Xbox is, what are you going through all this trouble of making it look good when you're on a TV that the resolution is crap? It can only look so good.
And no, you'd be surprised how good something can look, because you watch a TV show and that looks pretty realistic. So games can, you know, get up to that point. So therefore they can look good.
Okay, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong with the way TV outlooks, but you're taking PC graphics and putting them on a TV, and it looks just like a PlayStation 2 game. Now, I haven't ever played Xbox except for once at, like, Kmart or something, but I'm pretty sure it looked the same, and I don't know. I'm looking at both the screens right now, and PC looks a lot better.
Oh, of course it does, but Xbox is going to look decent. It's basically the same exact architecture. It's running DirectX. But,
yeah.
It probably has a 650 megahertz processor, 64 megs of RAM, but that stuff's dedicated. So, it's going to be pretty decent looking.
Yeah.
I mean, if you played this game, you could realize what kind of potential Xbox actually has. And,
well, it's got to have more potential than the PlayStation 2. It's just got all the extra power to it.
Right. But the Xbox has an internal hard drive and the PlayStation 2 doesn't. That's one of them.
Well, technically, the PlayStation 2 does now, except that it costs $100.
Oh, yeah.
So,
It's pretty stupid. And it saddens me that the next Xbox, they're planning on maybe not having a hard drive. Now, having a hard drive on the Xbox is makes it one of the best consoles. I mean, how much is an 8 gig hard drive? Pennies. I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't cost them hardly anything to put an 8 gig hard drive in there.
It costs $10 probably.
Yeah, $10 wholesale. So, what, the next Xbox, let's say they have a 25 gig hard drive, 30. I mean, and the hard drive allows for games to have a lot more freedom what they do. It allows you just to save games and not caring, oh, I have 5 blocks left, I can't save this game. Here, let's go grab another memory card. And you just save everything to that hard drive.
Which is more important, my Madden save or my Tony Hawk save? You gotta choose.
With their Xbox Live, I want to know how they're going to do their content downloading feature without a hard drive. How is that going to work? The most they're going to have for a memory card is 128 megs. You know, just common sense.
Maybe not. Maybe they'll substitute the price of the hard drive with, you have to buy a 1 gigabyte memory stick that costs $500.
Probably not.
They're going to need the space.
Yeah, I think they're going to go with a hard drive in the end. There's no way they can.
Yeah.
I read this when they were first talking about it. Why are they getting rid of it? Is it like pirating?
Yeah, for some reason they have a buck up their ass about piracy and modding and what? Less than 0.01% of people are actually doing this. It's a small problem. It's really nothing to worry about. Put a few extra anti-piracy features in there. Call it good. But remove the hard drive. How much money do they actually think they're losing on this with people modding their Xbox? I mean, I'm the exact demographic of people that would mod their Xbox, and I haven't even done it. So,
well, they should actually be looking at making money, because they're going to break a couple of Xboxes here and there.
Yeah.
They're going to have to buy new ones. I don't know.
But
I think the reason why they were so mad about it is because the people that were working on the PlayStation 2s, as soon as the Xbox came out, this is Microsoft, we have to do something with it. And then they switched. A lot of the modders switched right when Xbox came out, just because it was Microsoft. They might be mad because of that.
Well, the Xbox is a computer. It's the same exact architecture.
Yeah.
It is a computer. It's a hard drive, network card. it's trivial to mod it. So it's really not, it's really easy. So people are going to mod it naturally.
How large is the hard drive in the older Xboxes?
8 gigs.
And then they upgraded to 20?
No. I'm just speculating. I'm just kind of guessing how what kind of hard drive they would have for a next generation console that would theoretically come out in about a year.
I'm talking about the ones that are out now, because they had hard drives today. When it first came out, it was one size, and then I think they made it bigger.
What, on Xbox?
Yeah.
No, I don't think they ever made it bigger. And making it bigger, or really changing any kind of component in a console, really never happens, because when you make a console, you want it to be the exact same thing throughout its, you know, every single time, because somebody writes some code for it, and if something changes, you get more RAM or processor changes, and it breaks everything. So I highly doubt they would add a hard drive size to it. They might change. I know they change manufacturers, but as far as size goes, I believe it stayed the same.
I kind of remember reading something. They might have changed it. If you go check out xboxscene.com, it should say there. I remember something about it changing. Maybe I'm wrong. Probably am. So, yeah, it should be Xbox-scene or something. But I'm kind of looking forward to the next one, since I didn't really jump on the bandwagon with this one.
I've
just got a PlayStation 2.
I'm really not, because as far as I see it, Xbox is going to, they're trying to jump ahead on everybody, and they're going to release their console a year before everybody else. And why would I want to buy a console that's going to be a year older compared to everybody else? So, I don't know. It's probably going to be a while until I buy a new console. I'm not a huge gamer. For some reason, I'm more interested in the games and the technology and just, like, reading about them, except for actually playing them.
Yeah, same here. I game very rarely. Like, most games I play are the games that come on my computer, like, or the free games that I can download. I have an Xbox, but, I own a bunch of games where, like, I'll go through stages where I'll play a lot of games, but then not care about it for a couple of years again, and then play them again, but I'm really not into that. I'm more into, like, again, like you said, learning the technology about the game and reading about them than actually playing them.
Me, on the other hand, I play games all the time.
Yeah, you're a crack attack addict.
Hey, okay, I was stuck on Mario 64. I was playing this on my Nintendo 64. I wasn't emulating it, by the way, which would be illegal. I was stuck on that game for like a week and a half, okay? I didn't get very far because I just suck at it, but I love the game. I got like 70 stars or something. I was stuck on that game for a while, and then, I don't know. Then I was just doing nothing for like a week. I go through that too. I play games for, except it's different. I play for like 2 weeks straight and then don't do anything for a while. And I've always been into games.
I used to be into games a lot, but when I got back into computers a lot, computers took back over.
Yeah, maybe it will with me. I said I wouldn't mess with Linux, and here I am thinking of getting rid of Windows.
It takes a long time to get rid of Windows, as I've tried. Probably like once a year, I have a 3-month period that I use Linux, and it's really, really hard to switch, because Windows, it just kind of works. There's not a lot you have to do to get it to work. Linux doesn't just work. It's more fun, because it's more technical. But it's a bitch. It takes a lot of effort. It took me a day yesterday, well, not a whole day, let's say a half a day, yesterday, trying to get my resolution to change into what I want it to. And I'm spending probably 6 hours reading up and trying to figure out how to get this fixed, and I can't get it fixed. With Windows, I just go and I change the resolution. And if it doesn't work, it's because of the driver. There's something wrong with the driver. You know, 5 minutes later, I have a new driver installed. So just realize that Linux is hard. It takes a lot of effort.
Right, well, not that I'm a all Linux advocate now, but if you look at it this way, let's say your grandma wanted to use a computer. Wouldn't she spend that same amount of time trying to figure it out in Windows?
Who?
I'm betting she would.
Who?
Any person that hasn't ever used a computer before, sitting down to Windows, would have the same amount of trouble trying to figure out the same stuff you're having trouble with in Linux.
Not at all. Okay, let's compare. Let's compare installing a driver in Windows and Linux. Windows, to install a driver, you go to the website. Let's say you have an NVIDIA video card, and you go to NVIDIA's website. You download the driver. You just click around until it says which hardware you have. Okay, now you have NVIDIA driver.exe. Double click. Click next a few times. Your driver's installed. Let's switch over to Linux. You have to deal with your kernel, knowing how to recompile your kernel, know where your config file is for the kernel that you have, then how to use the makefile and compile a bunch of stuff, and then you have Windows, you have to find the config file for that, and you have to edit that, you have to look at a bunch of documentation on the internet, and then you have to edit it, and pretty god it works, restart X, and not only do you have to do all this, you have to know how to use a command line. And it's just, okay, let's say that you restart and it's broke. Okay, what now? You have to go and use a Lynx text browser to look around on the internet. And it's just, it's brutal. I could go on and on.
I agree with you on that, but
yeah, that's more to the extreme. I was just talking about general usage.
No, it's not extreme. Yeah, that was actually being very conservative.
Yeah, I made the total switch to Linux probably 2 months ago now. And I say this a lot, but it's so true. I've learned more than I did. I learned more in a week of using Linux than I did in like a year of using Windows, because there's so much you have to do just to get Linux to work. But if you stay at it and, like you said, keep trying and trying again, you eventually it's a learning tool just to get your stuff working and fully functional.
Exactly. I'm a Linux fan, but I'm a rational Linux fan. I know that Linux doesn't really work for the home user. It's really only for geeks that want to get right close to the operating system and play with it.
Yeah. If you look at it like, I have to get this file done right now, it's a lot easier to get it done on Windows because you know where to go. And trying to get things done quickly in Linux is rather hard.
It took me about 3 weeks to get Linux just how I liked it, and still to this day, I still have stuff I'd like to install, but I'm just kind of lazy, and I don't want to go through the 4 to 5 days it's going to take me to get that working.
Yep, and then if it was Windows, it'd take you 4 or 5 seconds to click next.
Right.
Yeah, don't even get me started on installing programs on Linux. Dear God, now, granted, I've never really used a packaging system that I like. RPM pisses me off. It's pretty much useless. I guess APT, or what is it, apt-get? For Slackware, which I'm using right now. I guess that's good. I'm going to play with that very soon. But installing a program, if you do it the traditional way, you download some source code, you try to compile it. Of course, it doesn't work when you compile it. So you have to go download the library, if it even is nice enough to tell you what library it is, which it usually is. So go download that library, try to install it. Oh, you need a new library. Oh, okay, get the new library. You need two other libraries, okay, and so on and so forth. You have to just keep getting libraries.
You work for 6 hours to get enough libraries done that you still can't do anything.
Right, but I've run into that many times.
My only problem is, getting something installed is different between every single app.
Exactly.
BitTorrent. I got that done in 2 seconds. I downloaded it, I read the install file, it worked. And then I go to some other app, and it's a completely different system to get it working. And you have to do completely different commands.
Some people, they write automatic shell scripts to install it for you. And I ran into a few of those, and they're a godsend. I mean, I've had very few problems with the automated shell scripts. Only one time I've had to do it all manually, which took about, I don't know, a couple hours. But
I had a question about that. Why isn't it all these people use Linux, and they have all these non-Linux users complaining, oh, it's not easy to install programs. If they'd all get together and make shell scripts to auto-install, it would be done and over with, and then they have all these other people using it. That's the only problem, is getting them done.
Because it changes so fast.
Yeah.
The libraries update daily in some cases.
I know there's lots of problems with it, but get to work. It's hard.
If they could, if everybody, for the most part, could agree on some sort of package management that would work, Linux would explode, because that is the only thing that's been kept me for the last 2 years from totally switching to Linux. I like to say, okay, I need to do this task. I will find a program that does said task, and I will install it. And 5 minutes later, I will be doing that task. And I can't do that with Linux, so it really impairs my productivity.
All they need is a few standards.
Yeah.
Linux needs standards, Windows needs less.
Well,
standardizing everything.
That's what's keeping Linux the way it is, though, no standards. That's the whole kind of reason that you don't want any rules.
No users?
What?
That's not a good thing.
Well, no, I mean, you want to be able to change it however you want. You don't want to have to use that one package manager. You don't want to...
Well, if it's good, I don't see the problem. See, now I'm starting to sound like Microsoft.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing's ever perfect.
Yeah, Red Hat believes their RPMs are all that and perfect, and other distros believe their packaging is all high and mighty, but each one has their flaws and each one has their problems. And I'm sure that Red Hat, for instance, would love for every distro to use the RPMs, but a lot of people say, fuck the RPMs, I don't want to use them. And that's why Linux is what it is. It's free choice, a freedom of choosing what you want your operating system to do. You don't want to have to follow someone else's ideals on what's the perfect thing to use, like Windows in some cases.
Such things. I don't know. It's a lot to think about, whether I want to go through the hassle or not.
Well, I think you should go with the hassle, because it's, the way I see it, there's all these people that are huge Linux fans, and they must be know something we don't, because I don't hear them bitching about installing programs. I don't hear of any, there's no Linux guru I hear of ever complaining about, oh, the programs are hard to install. So there must be some technique, some magic bullet out there that I've yet to discover. So I'm hoping I get better with Linux and I will find this magical process.
I can tell you right now that I haven't found a magical thing, but what I think it boils down to is if you enjoy messing around and tweaking with it. See, I take it as a challenge. I mean, yeah, it's a pain in the ass, but say, oh, shit, I need to install Audacity. I have to arrange some time. I haven't even looked into installing it yet, so it might be really easy to tell, but I've run into other programs where, you know, it's going to take a couple hours or maybe days to get all the configurations right and all the dependencies and libraries. And, I mean, I kind of enjoy that. It gives me something to mess around with when I have nothing else to do. It's tweaking Linux is a hobby for me, you know, getting everything just the way I want it and having total control over everything I want, even if it means totally fucking it over. That's one of the great things of it.
If you're not going into it with a hobbyist attitude, don't bother.
Right. If you just want to, shit, I need an operating system to work, just pop in the CD, then go with Windows. I'm sorry, but
I am looking for something to work, but it's only a limited number of things I need to work, and I can probably get those working pretty quick. It's not like every day I'm changing. I need this new app to do this certain thing real quick, and then I'll be done with it, never need it again. But then again, if you looked at my little downloads folder, you'd think otherwise, because I have like tons of crap that I never use.
It's a hobby. Linux is a hobbyist distro. I mean, hobbyist operating system. There's written... Oh, I don't want to even go into that, because a lot of people have different debates, but the new distros, they are written for you to mess with, and that's the whole point of being open source, so you can look at it and learn from it, and give credit where credit is due, but you can glean from it and improve upon it. And it's the whole thing is exactly what Kizzle said, is a hobby, and you have to take that into account before you even start messing with it, because if you go in there thinking that everything's going to work perfect because you saw your friend next door, he popped it in and it worked perfect. I mean, no computer is exactly the same.
Nopix.
Except for Nopix. Nopix. No, I've had trouble with Nopix before on laptops where the graphical is stuff like X Windows and stuff.
Well, I've only used Nopix on two different computers and it works just fine for both of those, so.
Yeah, I haven't had really any Nopix problems on desktops, but on laptops, that's another story. Like, laptops, they have the problems.
I think what it boils down to is that Unix in general is an industrial operating system. It's meant to put on a server, to be ran by somebody that knows what the hell they're doing, and to just sit there and do its job efficiently. It's not really, despite what Red Hat and Mandrake and all the others will say, it's really not made for a desktop operating system. So, again, it needs to take a hobbyist to really get it to work. A hobbyist is somebody that's getting paid to do it.
Yeah, I agree with you totally there. It was originally written for the big servers to, you know, take their commands, go get their file and bring it back, or manage different things, processes and so on. And
if that works so well, why don't you work on the other side of it?
What, the desktop side?
Yeah.
Well, because the desktop side, everyone wants their desktop different. Like, everyone wants different programs. No one wants the exact same thing.
A couple hundred million people say that Windows is doing it right.
Well, see, the thing is,
living with it.
The Unix and Linux architecture aren't made with a GUI in mind. Windows is. It is made to be hand-in-hand with the GUI, because that's all you have. With Linux, it's just, they made it so you can get them with the text console and set shit up. The GUI is an afterthought made by totally different people that have nothing to do with the actual Linux development, people doing the kernel, doing the utility, the base utilities and stuff. So they both have different agendas.
Right.
Okay. That makes sense.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm done if you want to go ahead and wrap this up. We've been going for almost an hour.
Right. 39 minutes.
39 minutes with music. So.
Oh, yeah.
The new email that's set up is dtmfradio@gmail.com. I'm sure that'll get used up quickly with someone trying to send attachments. Wink, wink.
Oh, I've been having fun with Gmail. I went on their corporate webpage and lists the head people on there, and I was trying to register Gmail addresses with the names of the like president of Google and all the directors and stuff, and almost all of them were registered, but there was a couple that weren't registered, so I forget, I have it written down. It's give me one moment. It's one of the boards of directors. Yeah, I don't know.
You're planning on going to grab this, guys, and then I'll have to buy it from you?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I can get rich off this.
I think since they're in control, they'll delete your account.
Okay, it's Paul O'Tellini. So if anybody wants to mail me at paulotellini@gmail.com, I work at IBM. I'm on the board of directors for Gmail.
Well, then all he has to do is use caps or something. Or use an underscore here and there.
Yeah.
And he has his own.
Aw, he's old.
There's ways around it, but it's still a good idea.
Yeah, good idea. They thought of it for the most part, but I wanted like the president of Google at gmail.com, but it didn't work.
They got some like security guard. They didn't reserve his, so you go take his. He'll be pissed. He'll come kill you. So yeah, I'm done. I'm not talking anymore.
All right. Well, I promised Dutch Worlds I'd shout out the DDP Hub. It's a DDPHUB.no-ip.com, and that's the DC++ hub. And
coming soon, I believe he was talking about a FTP server with Binrev stuff.
Well, he was, but...
Yeah, he was having server problems, but I think we got him worked out.
Well, I'll talk to him about it, and there's, I don't know, there's some issues with it.
No one is using it. No one is using the hub, so...
I'm using the hub. Me and Charles are the only ones in there.
I think I may have a theory of why this is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Direct Connect sucks.
Yes.
Yeah.
It sucks. FTP servers, how much better? At least 10 times, right?
Well, it's really, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, it's not the same thing. Like.
Yeah, but it works, and DCC doesn't.
DCC plus works fine. In Linux, I use DC GUI-QT, and I've had no problems with that.
Well, see, with Direct Connect, I wish it would just download from multiple sources at one time. And it
yeah, that's
seems
the
like
only
stuff...
thing, but that's what makes it so secure. If you think about it, it's the most, I think it's the most secure form of peer-to-peer. Because, I mean, how the hell is the RIAA, I mean, they could, but are they actually going to log on to all these thousands of different servers?
They don't have to.
Some are not public.
No, that's irrelevant. I'm not saying that it should search thousands and thousands of users. That would totally void the point of Direct Connect. What I'm saying is you have 15, 20 people connected to a Direct Connect hub. It should be able to download from more than one person at a time on that hub.
You can.
How? I don't know. Oh, well, I can find that in a manual someplace.
I believe... Oh, yeah, I think I have downloaded from multiple people on that hub at the same time.
He means the same file, like BitTorrent, kind of. Right? Like downloading the same file and getting it from all these sources at the same time. Is that what you're saying?
Right,
people?
Right.
Yeah.
Oh. No, you can't do that. Yeah, I see what you mean, but...
BitTorrent would do that.
Yeah, I use the BitTorrent.
Yeah. Oh, so what were you going to say about Supernova and Binrev and...
Oh, yeah. I thought we were closing the show, but anyway.
Yeah, I was supposed to stop talking.
But, Supernova, or it's not really Super, it's a Supper, or whatever the hell. It's not Supernova. .org, if you go to... I found this while looking around for,
Documentaries?
Documentaries, yeah. You go to, Miscellaneous Documentaries, and Hack TV is on there now. On the Supernova site.
Yeah, isn't it like a 30-second clip?
No, it's the whole thing.
You just said, okay, you said it was a 30-second clip.
No, I didn't. Why the hell did I say that?
Okay, whatever. I give up.
Yeah, anyone who's talking out of ass, he's smoking that crack again.
It's 11 o'clock, okay? I haven't had sleep. I'm tired. Go to bed.
It's the whole fucking movie, man.
Hurry up and say that we're out of here.
All right.
I don't know what kind of music I'll be putting in yet, because I'm not the one recording it.
I'll put something in there.
Okay, we'll let Kizzle handle the editing. Who knows what's going to happen?
All right.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
So you got any shouts?
Kizzle wants to do it. I mean, he can send it to me.
Shouts, man? Shouts?
Shouts to Darth.
Darth?
Darth and Network 7, I believe it's called.
Are you going to go to the 2600 meeting?
Yes. We should talk about that real quick. Now, who was it that doesn't know what a calendar is and thought that Hope was on the same weekend as 2600?
Me.
Okay. So, now it's game time, and you dropped the ball.
Yeah, well, man, I had plans to, like, go on kind of vacation, and I didn't know.
So you made plans for a vacation, but never did it cross your mind to look at a calendar?
No, I
didn't. I believe those two things would be...
My friend made all the plans. He just said, hey, show up. And I'm like, okay.
Because he looked at a calendar. I bet you money.
It's fucking smart, man. I sleep. I don't look at fucking calendars.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't believe anyone's going to show up.
Oh, you said that last time. I'm like, the three poor souls show up all alone.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to get back from vacation, but, you know, it won't go so fast.
Oh, well, so did you fucking look at the calendar?
I did look at a calendar. I was trying to leave a day early. Okay,
oh,
that's
right.
How much I love you guys. I was trying to be there. Miss my vacation.
I wish I could make it. I might be able to, though. I'm not really positively sure. Because I'm not sure the exact day we leave, but...
Anyway. So. I'm out of here.
All right, well, I got shots of twirls because, you know, he lets me leech off them. And four twirls. You guys shots, Kizzle?
I always forget who I want to shout out to, but like everybody that links to Uber Lido, I love you. Because that's my main source of it.
I got one quick thing to tell you, Pizzle. On the front page of hackermedia.net,
yeah,
my handle's misspelled.
Okay, yeah, I was made aware of that. I will fix that.
And also, if some odd reason Stank Dog's listening, my handle's misspelled there, too, also on the show notes page.
Well, technically, your handle's not supposed to be there.
Yeah, I know.
It's all fixed now. My name is back up there.
Oh, it is?
Why don't you just spell it right? You know, like,
well, when I originally signed up, I made a typo and just kind of stuck.
Oh, I see.
Redo it. I don't think anyone would care. Who cares if you're going to lose your 300 posts?
I don't really care if I lose my 300 posts.
Well, then fix it.
But I just submitted so many articles with that, I really don't care to change it.
It's kind of like, have you guys seen that guy in the BinRev forums that there's not one single normal character on... I have no idea what his name is supposed to be.
Herbal Child or whatever?
What?
I think his name's Herbal Child or something.
Yeah, I think it's like every single weird-ass character you can think of. And one of his, probably his fifth posts on the board, I'm like, hey, man, make it something different. I mean, think about it. When you start getting more in the scene or something, let's say you make a text file, people, what would you want people to say? Oh, did you see that text file by that guy with all the weird things in his name? I have no idea. Whatever.
It makes him leap, man.
You can't get any respect or any credit or anything when you don't even have a name. It's just random. You could be Japanese.
Random special character. Somehow translate into an English word if you struggle long enough. It's worse than lead speak.
Or like a smiley face or something.
It's special character speak.
Lead speak and a handle is just fine, as long as it's not all numbers.
Hey, I got four letters in mine.
Yeah, so that guy, you're weird.
I'm weird.
He's going to regret it. I tried to warn him.
I've tried to end the show three times now.
Yeah, see, A13 is preoccupied thing about ending the show. I don't think he enjoys recording it in the show.
Well, that's why I sabotage my phones now. Yeah.
All right, well, I think this is the end. And, all right.
Yeah, so long, everybody.
Late.
Goodbye.
Why is there the odd silence?
We had to have a pause.
How much do you want to bet he's going to leave that in?
He will.
Telephone love.